Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the quadrant overlords currently responsible for the distribution of potato chips. Good morning to the peanut farmers farming peanuts in honor of Jimmy Carter. Good morning to the folks who live in Florida. Times are crazy. I'm sorry, they're gonna get crazier. Good morning to Texas. You're awfully cold. Good morning to Alaska. You're like us, warmer than usual. Good morning to all the various parts of this country, the mountains that some of them have snow. Some of them have a little bit of snow. Nobody knows. Yeah. Good morning. So it is Wednesday. It is January the 22nd, 2025. Boblimp Doc still. I mean, I'd like to tell you, I know it's Grinkin' time. Actually, that's not true. I don't want to tell you that. I'd like to tell you in April or May that I was wrong. You know, or at least I didn't fully understand it. I do not want to tell you it's Grinkin' time because that's just a funny name for something that's scarier than most people alive today could fucking imagine, at least if you live in the United States. There are places in the world right now that fully understand what I mean by Grinkin' time. And they are not in Boblimp Doc. And so I guess in that sense, it's a lot like the time zone you're in. You know, we're just in a different time zone. Midnight will be later for us. I'm going to reiterate some points from the last podcast because it's important enough to do so. I try to be consistent. That doesn't mean I'm always right. And I also, and let's iron this one out. I never claimed to give investing advice. I lived in a camper last year. You would be batshit fucking crazy to take investing advice from me. And the simple truth is, there's almost no way to make money on the Death Star without doing something dirty. Everybody gets dirty. The pizza delivery man. Yeah, why just deliver pizzas to that weird warehouse with the geeks? They tell me stories about flying airplanes and shooting missiles, but all I ever do is deliver pizza, Bob. Dan, I'm just a bartender. I work and live near Langley. I deliver drinks to weirdos who do a lot of wet work. I'll listen to their problems. Yeah, you know, they're very vague problems. But I'll listen, Dan. I am doing no wrong. I'm a single mom. Dan, I'm an organic farmer. I live off the grid in Tennessee. I raise potatoes. I harvest pigs. Dan, I'm doing nothing wrong. Nothing, honey. I use crypto. How much more decent could I be? There is no way to participate in the economics of this country. And I figured this out a long time ago. But there is zero way to participate in this neo-Stalinist hellhole without committing acts of evil. And if your argument to me is you don't know, then once again I tell you, this is why the Milgram experiment is bullshit. The simple truth is, folks, Adolf Eichmann, he may have killed people, he may have tortured people, but if all he ever wanted to do was to be the bureaucrat that he was, then he never had to kill one person in person. He never had to hear one fucking scream. He never had to be exposed to any of that. And frankly, the people he was giving orders to didn't have to either. You would have to go all the way down the ranks until you get to that prison guard. And I don't know how to shock you, ladies and gentlemen. They usually screen for certain types of people, and that hasn't changed. It hasn't changed as a result of Israeli security consulting post 9/11. It certainly didn't change with paperclip, if you know, you know. The fact is, our police force screens for sociopaths, for pieces of shit. Pieces of shit and people who are willing to sit around and watch pieces of shit do crooked things. That is the U.S. police force. Guess what? That was the demographic of guards at the concentration camps in whatever form they were, right? So when you think about the Milgram experiment, you're already focusing on the wrong thing. You're already broken. You're flawed in your thinking. The Milgram experiment is a kind of limited hangout, and it leads people to believe that if I can't hear the screaming, I'm doing nothing wrong. And that's really important, what I just fucking said. You can't hear the screaming, so you're doing nothing wrong. Dan, I'm just a house flipper. I'm just a real estate agent. But you're the same person who wants to put the home. I know. If we could round up all the homeless, we would have better home prices. And folks, you're going to end up with more homeless. And you're going to have to either feed them or and house them. Or frankly, just likely the kitty cats at grandma's house on the farm, out near the pond. Yeah, if you know, you know. You either round them up and feed them, which is going to be god-awful expensive, or you're just going to fucking put them in a bag and drown them. Those are your options when it comes to the homeless at this point. And there's only going to be more homeless. The reason why I'm ranting about this is people will ask me, Dan, why do you believe the Ross Ulbricht pardon conceals something dark? For the simple fact that I understand how the system works. A, you're not going to, most of you will never hear the fucking screams. And the ones that do hear the screams want to hear the screams, shithead. B, these liars, they're not good at much else, but they're fucking geniuses at lying. They really are. I have to tip my hat to that. They could be incompetent at every other field of endeavor, but at the field of grifting, some of them are just quite brilliant. And they would very well use an innocent person. They would torture, they would kill to make a point. I don't know if Ross Ulbricht is real, but I can tell you from my own experience, the crypto space is highly suspect. Highly suspect. A reasonable person that has an investment timeline connected to their soul and to their, really their actual life, not livelihood, would stay out of it. People who want to day trade it, if that's a thing you can do, go ahead and do it. I've got a little bit of quote-unquote investing advice. Not really. You shouldn't listen to me, but I'm going to tell you anyways later on. So Ross Ulbricht might be a good guy, but the crypto space is polluted. And already you've got these crypto freaks telling us, well, it'll be great once they pick Bitcoin as the national reserve or some market basket of cryptos, but they'll be the special cryptos. Yeah, folks, it sounds so fucking free. It sounds like liberty, doesn't it? This idea that we're going to be corralled into a space where we will be forced to participate in transactions that exist on a ledger forever. And if you want to say, well, Dan, if you're not a criminal, then already, shithead, you're barking up the wrong fucking tree. Okay? I don't live according to the standards of criminals and scumbags. I live according to better standards. It's too fucking bad that you do. You fucking shithead. So he could be a real person. He could be quote-unquote innocent. Ross Ulbricht could have been the victim of a crime, and with all that, he also could be being used, maybe even manipulated. But in the very least, I think he's being used. And the base case, best case, the least crazy thing I could say is he's being used to boost crypto so that this wood chipper, fiat, which is what crypto is, it's a chipper. You toss fiat into it, and for the most part, it never comes back in any useful form. Yeah, best case scenario, the pardoning of Ross is being used to pump, maybe the last dump, maybe, probably. I don't think the system has that much more left in it. There just really aren't that many more people to rip off. But if you have to print a lot of money, Bitcoin is way better than a war bond if you know you know. I mean, war bonds, you could freeze the money in carbonite for 30 years, right? 20 or 30 years. During World War II. So in some ways, crypto is even better than that. It is counterinflationary, but it's not counterinflationary for a good reason. It's counterinflationary because it consumes this garbage we call fiat, and it produces nothing in return. It is an Ouroboros broken Windows machine. That's what crypto is. If you want to believe it's the way you're going to protect your retirement, I get it. I drink. I'm trying to drink less, but I'm not going to tell you that I'm drinking so much less that I'm ready to convince you to have a moment of fucking clarity. But understand, Ross could be innocent. Ross could be a good guy. Ross could be brilliant. And also, Ross could be being used. Okay? All those things can be true. The worst case scenario, as I said yesterday, and as I've said consistently for 5 fucking years, is that this is popping smoke. This is exactly that event. This is the exclamation mark. Whatever is going to come next is going to be a lot less of the psyop bullshit and more of the real stuff. You know, the real stuff that doesn't involve video. In fact, as they once said, the revolution won't be televised. You know, Grinkin Time is probably mostly not going to be televised. That's a better way of describing it. There's going to be local networks. I mean, if this is not the end of the world, we're going to have local internets. We're going to have local networks. People will embrace shortwave radio again. So communication, I don't think, will totally disappear. But if this is popping smoke, the kind of big network, big internet, Facebook, Twitter world is over. It's a matter of, you know, you could ask me, is it a decade? No. Is it 5 years? No. Is it a year? No. Could it be months? Yeah. It could be months. I kind of have to accept that at this point, but it also could be weeks and days or hours. And what that exclamation mark looks like could be anything. It could look like a human-triggered event, like, you know, full-scale thermal nuclear war. It's not like Trump is really cooling down the rhetoric, especially when it comes to Iran, especially when it comes to the atrocities being committed in Gaza. Because as I've said, brothers and sisters, Gaza's reached a point where it's almost beyond evil. You know, it's like Stalin said, you know, quantity has a quality all of its own. But the amount of tonnage dropped, and I do think in tons, because I have a friend who wanted to have me thinking in pounds. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to think in terms of millions or billions of pounds. I will tell you, tons helps me better. It's a less precise and therefore less gruesome thought. But in terms of tons, I mean, it's beyond evil. It's absurd. It makes no sense. I'm okay with someone coming back to me and saying it's evil. Of course it is. But explain to me how people could be this fucking stupid. Because when you're doing this, you're pretty much creating a giant crater. Eventually, that's all you're going to have. And then the Mediterranean fills it in. And, you know, as insane as this sounds, maybe that's the point. Maybe what the IDF is really doing is building Disneyland in the Holy Land. You know, Holy Roman Disneyland. That's what they're building. And in order to do it, they have to have some giant artificial lake that they can put, like, Jaws 3 3D into and have water skiers being chased in some Golan Globus classic. You know, that's what they really want. A giant swimming pool for Disneyland Holy Land. So yeah, I don't know. I stick to what I said yesterday. And the other weird part is that yesterday was one of those bad days where if it weren't for the fact that I had a couple students that depended upon me that day, that needed help that day, I probably would have called in sick. And I don't mean physically sick. I know a lot of you are getting the monkey herpes and the bird flu and the scrigus. I'm talking about a mental health day. And you can send me whatever angry fucking email you want to about that. I also don't care. I get so many new trolls now that I'm really building an awesome list of phone numbers and email addresses. And if you're asking me why I'm doing this, I'm not going to explain. It does relate to topology, and it's the only thing I can do. But if I can do this one thing, I will do this one thing. And that's as much as I want to say about that. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. But before I read you this quote, I'm going to drink a little bit of coffee. But Dan, isn't that sacred coffee now? I mean, technically post my Danifesto, which you can find at boblimpdoc.com if you know, you know. And if you kind of know I went crazy yesterday, okay. But before I get to the Dr. Freckles quote, I'm going to say this. I was feeling crazy yesterday, and this kind of reminds me of that day in October, right before the Anna Banana Merlana bullshit, right before the Goat King re-entered my life again. And in a way, he didn't. I don't even know if he's a real person. I can tell you that you can meet people today, and they can be total fakers. I've met at least a couple, maybe three. I don't know why they exist. I don't know why they take these stupid jobs. When I was standing on 12th Avenue in the summer of 2020 and I saw all those stupid-ass BLM Antifa walking up and down the street, I'm going to let you on a little secret. Up close, it looks fake as fuck. And the reason why they wear those stupid-ass masks is because if you want to choreograph that shit and use the same people over and over again, the mask kind of helps, doesn't it? That coffee filter. Just like in October. Yesterday, I had the sinking feeling that something was going to pop up on my radar, and it felt ominous. And then I come home, and I see that I've been banned again from Zero Hedge. I wonder why. Who knows, right? And then I see that headline about Ross, and I think I'm kind of glad I got banned again, because I don't think I would have really wanted to interact on that Ross comment line. Not really. You could say that Zero Hedge is the last social media and the last source of news I have, because after that, the desert is empty of useful information. But that doesn't mean it's a good place. It doesn't mean that Zero Hedge is a good site. Everything else is worse. In fact, I've said this before, it's a lot like that Winston Churchill quote. Zero Hedge is total fucking brain rot, and everything else is worse. And so when you're left at that point, you either just keep reading the brain rot you can stomach, or you just move on. Move on to fiction. I feel like this is the week where I might actually break into that 100%. I do a little bit here, a little bit there, but I'm tired of it. So yesterday I had the same ominous feeling I had in October, and then I read about the Ross thing, and again, this could just be my broken psychology. It really can be simply that, but I read about it and I say to myself, this is fucking crazy. This is insane. This is insane. It isn't so much that it's bad if an innocent person is free. I think that's great. Although, I hate to break it to you, there are a lot of people in jail today that good old Papa Blump should free, but won't. I'm sorry for crushing your dreams. And again, it has nothing to do with him anyways, right? I don't actually believe this character we call Trump is that much more real than Biden was. I'm so sorry. So anyways, I beat a dead horse. Simple advice. I think, before I close this out, I really do believe they're going to pump the crypto space now. And this event also pumps it. So if you're big into crypto, specifically Bitcoin, and you measure all crypto by it, an individual Bitcoin could very well be 200K in the next few days. It could. It on its way to a million. And if you think that's a good sign, God bless, right? You know, they talk about Disneyland and Gaza, but there's a Disneyland in your head, isn't there, brothers and sisters, if you think that's a good sign. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, and I'm going to drink a little more coffee before I get into it, and this time I will. It doesn't matter if the ant understands the strategy of the boot. It doesn't matter if the ant understands the paradigm of the boot. It doesn't really matter if the ant can kind of sympathize with the perspective of the boot. Because the boot's still going to squash you. The boot's still going to smash you. I've thought about this a lot, and then yesterday I talked to a really good friend of mine, and we talked about a similar topic. And it relates to a podcast from the other day. You know, there are things I can control. Like, I can choose to go to work or not. I can choose to drink or not. I chose to stop smoking cigarettes, and I did. And between you and I, cigarettes have always been a harder thing to get rid of than other things. But yeah, I can improve my health. I could walk more. I could give a shit. I could lose a lot of weight. I could stop being obsessively interested in the news, because I'm not interested in the news because I think it's going to teach me anything. At this point, it is pure schadenfreude. Like, the headlines from yesterday was miracle, miracle. You read headlines differently. We're not the same. All I read was one Trump miracle after another. And then the ultimate Trump miracle, you know, he freed the ultimate slave. He freed the ultimate prisoner. He freed the princess, or prince, whatever, from the fucking tower. And then you think back to that Iwo Jima shot from when, you know, supposedly a McPoyle tried to kill Trump. It's all so perfectly choreographed. And from a distance, it might even look real. And I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Ant. Just as I say to myself in the mirror, it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't. If you see it for what it is, if you see it for the truth of what it is, and you are right, because nothing guarantees we're right. That's part of the problem. You know, how do you check your facts in a factless world? How do you check your truth in a world that denies truth? You can't. You can't. Not in terms of the world. In terms of God, in terms of other things, maybe. But in terms of the world, in a sense, this is where pragmatists like Richard Rorty are inherently correct. There is no truth. Not in the world. Not of human beings. Human beings don't know how to create it. We don't know how to live with it. We don't know what to do with it. And even if we understood the truth, it doesn't matter. The boot is still going to smash you. That could be where we're at. And guess what? I was consistent on this too, folks. I told you going back 8-10 years, the simplest thing you can do is find a dried crusty on the side of the fucking toilet before it flushes. You can go back to my Indianapolis days, my archives, if you know, you know, but I'm too tired to give a fuck to teach ya. I told you, find a dried crusty. If you want nothing more sophisticated than that, find a bit of dirty turd, dry it on the side of the toilet bowl that might hold you from being pulled down the hole, you know, that might keep you and your family from being pushed down the tubes, you know, going down the tubes like my parents used to say. But it doesn't matter if we understand the strategy. It doesn't matter if you know who these people are. It doesn't matter. I used to think it did, but it doesn't. Not for people like us. If enough of us cared about the truth, it might matter. But therein lies the rub. Because all of a sudden you realize the issue's not bullets, it's not nuclear weapons. When somebody comes at you and says, our government has fighter jets, it's not about that or drones. Fucking drone people. It's not about any artifice or technology of war. What scares people, what keeps people from doing anything, is the fucking truth. The one thing we can't create, but the one thing we're all afraid of. I I'm convinced that my best case is now wishful thinking. So if I tell you that my best case looks like Barbara Tuchman's A Distant Mirror times 1,000 everywhere on Earth for 100 years, you need to understand that my best case now, I think, is trash. I really do. At this point, it doesn't fit. It would have fit up until a few months ago. In fact, I should say it would have fit up until that day in July. Now, I think my best case is bogus. Now the question is, what does the worst case look like? And, you know, people can settle for what is, at this point, kind of boring, and that is just simply the collapse of the U.S. dollar. But what people don't realize is how catastrophic that's going to be, just by itself. The unwinding of the dollar empire could leave U.S. forces overseas without funds. It could lead to governments capturing our ships and our boats. It could lead to what I would call a soft civil war, or rather, it could lead to our country breaking apart without civil war. Just a dollar collapse would be catastrophic by itself. And at this point, I think it's way worse. Still not the end of the world, but way worse. But does it fucking matter? And if it is something under their control, if we're on the edge of hyperstatism, I don't like talking about hyperstatism because it falls into the category of perpetual motion machines and the belief that the government is a better idea than liberty. So I don't like talking about hyperstatism, but let's play pretend for a second. And the thing that they've been enabling, because this is a common theme these days since early 2020, the truth that they've been covering up, or their truth, whatever you want to call it, isn't about a catastrophe that's going to wipe out a bunch of people. It's about the New World Order. It's about hyperstatism. It is literally the reset, and this is the process they're going through. If that's the case, that's still really fucking bad. And as I've discussed, I've called it bonsai economics. A lot of branches and leaves get cut, folks. So it still ends up in the same place. And you have to believe these people are more than just great liars. They're great builders, and I don't think they are. They're not good at building anything other than prisons and cemeteries. That's what they're good at. You want to build a camp? They'll build a camp. You need a road built to move an army? They kind of know how to do that, to a certain extent. But they have to hire people to do these things. They can't do them themselves. What they're really good at is being deceptive. I don't have to tell you. It doesn't really matter if we understand why our government is doing the shitty things it does, because we don't really have individually the leverage to do something about it. And if we wanted that leverage, most of us would have to confront something that we don't want to. That every single stupid fucking job on the Death Star is kind of fucking evil. And that in terms of Christ, he doesn't think in terms of ratios, people. He doesn't care that your job is only 10% evil. Jesus really does not care that you don't have to hear the screams. In fact, I think the Lord in heaven would prefer that you did, because I can guarantee you he does. You may not have to hear the screams. You may not have to deal with 75 to 100,000 tons of TNT dropped on your town. But Christ has to hear the screams. The Lord in heaven does. So you can tell me you've got an innocent job, you live off-grid. I don't want to hear it. If you live in the United States of America, you live on the Death Star, you may think that you only put a little bit in and take a little bit out. That's a lot of bullshit. Your existence is a function of their grift. I'm sorry. And you might live way outside of town, and I recommend that you do. I recommend you get the fuck out of the cities as soon as possible. But that still doesn't matter, because all of this evil, all of this dark entropy is going to find its way. All of it. And you can really, you can write a bunch of books on how you get it. How you figured out the ultimate elite. How you have the ultimate conspiracy theory. And you could be correct. And it still doesn't matter. because you're an ant, so am I. And we're small because we're afraid of the truth. Do this or die. Wrap tinfoil around your bananas. If you don't do this, you're going to die. Wrap tinfoil around your car keys. If you don't do this, you're going to die. Wrap tinfoil, mix in Vaseline, Coca-Cola, wrap that around your flaccid penis, because if you don't do it, you're going to die. Dan, yeah, that was the only useful thing I read on Zero Hedge today. So I woke up early. My sleep's been off for lots of weird reasons. And I decided to watch an old movie I hadn't seen in a while. I think I watched it last year in the camper, so, you know, whatever. The film is called Capricorn One. And it's an interesting film for lots of reasons. One reason why it's interesting is it points out how incredibly dumb people must be at this point and how dumb they were then. And let me explain why. So we've got the Apollo spacecraft. We've got the Saturn V rocket. We got the lunar excursion module. We have the command module. We have these things that enabled astronauts to go from the Earth to the moon and back again. In Capricorn 1, the lander that lands on Mars looks like the LEM. The command module looks like the command module from the moon trips. And it looks like a Saturn V rocket that's going to launch this rocket spaceship to Mars. And in some ways, to me, that's the mind fuck. It's not the mind fuck to say, well, Dan, they're, you know what they're doing? They're revealing the method. They fake the moon landing. No. No, I don't want to go into that right now. That's almost a limited hangout at this point. The real mindfuck is that people watched that movie and couldn't really figure out for themselves that the Saturn V rocket, the lunar excursion module, the little electric car on the moon, the fucking command module, all of this probably wouldn't work for going to Mars. And listen, it was 1977. We were well into the second and third generation science fiction films using pretty good high-tech special effects. So if they wanted to give us a more believable spaceship, they could have done it. They could have. I mean, they had O.J. Simpson in that movie, and that's, you know, back in the day, he wasn't cheap. And that's not the main point of this topic, but I think it's really funny. It's kind of funny. It's kind of interesting. You know, people would watch this movie. They would see the same technology, but it's about going to Mars. And it almost pretty much tells you that it was a movie. Everything was a movie. Space is a movie. But what I found interesting from Capricorn 1, because, you know, if you watch a film more than once, you hear things, was this comment about how the trip to Mars in 1977 would cost $24 billion. $24 billion. I think we're adding $1 trillion to the national debt about every 3 to 4 months now. And it could be like, you know, 2 months soon, and it could end up being a month. I wouldn't be surprised if Papa Blump adds $6 trillion in debt in the next 6 months. I wouldn't be surprised. For all the doge, for all the shutting down this and shutting down that, listen, if you want to go from 100,000 tons of TNT dropped on a small town to a megaton of TNT dropped on a small town, then you more or less, you're going to spend a lot of money. So he's going to spend a lot of money. Papa Blump is going to spend a lot of money in the next 6 months, assuming, like I said, 6 months is a thing. But in 1977, people who got paid to write screenplays and supposedly consulted with NASA, in 1977, they thought you could go to Mars and back for $24 billion. Imagine that shit. I mean, we haven't been to Mars yet, and we still can't send people back again. Oh, but we sent little drones there. I know we sent drones. I know. But I just don't know what I believe at this point about those kinds of stories. What I do know is we haven't sent people back there yet to return. And I think that's very interesting. $24 billion. In 2016, it cost me 700 euros to go 300 miles in Ireland. In 2016, it cost me 700 euros to go 300 miles in Ireland. Do the mileage on that one, you know? Think about this. In the 1970s, they could rebuild a person who was totally destroyed in a test pilot accident, a lifting body accident, a NASA-style Area 51 type accident in 1970s, early 70s, they could rebuild a man for $6 million. I mean, today, they could probably, you know, yeah, they could do something with $6 million. I don't know if they could build a $6 million man for $6 million. I don't think so, not yet. Probably not even close, right? Today, I think it would be the $60 billion man to do the thing that is done in that show where an astronaut is brutally destroyed almost and half dead and arms and legs mangled and all the other stuff. To do that today, you'd probably have to spend $60 billion. Now, what is that? Is that inflation? I don't know. You tell me. And to quote Hal Holbrook from Capricorn One, it's gotten out of control. It's too big. It's gotten out of control. It's too big. It's gotten out of control. It's too big. And really, that's also what my girlfriend told me once. It's gotten out of control, Dan. It's too big. Yeah. Last topic is a quote from Dr. Freckles once again. If Trump was saved by God to make America great again, then I was saved by God to be Big Dick McGee, porn star. If Trump was saved by God to make America great again, my name's Big Dick, Big Dick McGee. Yes, indeed, it's gotten out of control. It's too big. That would be the line of my co-star, Misty Kratoms. Misty Kratoms and Big Dick McGee in what would be the name of the movie? Oh, I know what we call it. What would we call it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, what would we call that one? Got to come up with something good. What would be the name of that first film that I would star in with Misty Kratoms as Big Dick McGee? Because again, if this fanciful idea that Trump was saved by God, because I don't think Trump is saved, I can't know it. It's probably a sin for me to have an opinion, but I'm going to go out on a limb and tell you I don't think Trump was saved by God. Or it's a lowercase God, which means a fallen angel, but he wasn't saved by Jesus. So if Trump were saved by God, then yes, I was saved by God to become Big Dick McGee, and I will star in my first film with with Misty Kratoms. And what will we call it? What will we name this film? I gotta find something good. Needless to say, I'll come up with a good name for it. Maybe I'll write a story about it. Yeah, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Trump is a sleazy piece of shit. I stick to it. But on the other hand, the best case scenario is Trump's not a real person at all. In that sense, he's not even a sleazy piece of shit. He's just like nothing. And maybe that's more like the worst case scenario, which means that the best case scenario is he's just a sleazy piece of shit. The worst case is that he really is nothing. He's like Biden. He's another kind of Potemkin, a facade, a Potemkin president. There's something else going on, but it's got nothing to do with him. And as long as he keeps people distracted, that's all that fucking matters, right? Big Dick McGee and Misty Kratoms. And maybe the name of the film is Klamala. And it's the unauthorized true story of Kamala Harris. Yes, Big Dick McGee and Misty Kratoms in Klamala starring Big Dick McGee, big name up there, smaller font, and Misty Kratoms. And it probably comes, C-U-M, it comes out probably in 2026, Boblimp Doc. And by then we won't call it Boblimp Doc, it'll be Huggins time, or Grigan's realm. And we'll feel the free fresh air of our porn star bodies. I'll take the bull testicle sauce. I'll inject things into my body. I will wrap tin foil around my penis, because I was told to do so, right? Wrap it around your banana, right? Because it's gotten out of control, is what she'll say. That's what Misty Kratoms will say, playing Klamala. It's gotten out of control, baby. It's too big.